Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's, the other. They love the holidays and the presents. It's Tool Queens, it's Tool Queens. Holidays Jubilee 2020, it's Tool Queens, it's Tool Queens.
Five golden rings.
Hello!
Welcome to Tool Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
Why wouldn't you be? She's an actor and comedian. Where do you know her from? Where don't you know her from? You know her from The Wrong Missy, the podcast Wild Horses, Newcomers, Freedom, Lap Time, and with special guest Lauren Lapkus. It's Lauren Lapkus.
Hi.
Lauren, you made it.
I made it.
To your couch.
I made it here. And I've been here for many hours.
You know, we all.
An actor prepares. Yeah.
I've been waiting for you guys to show up in the Zoom room. I just was staring at nothing for like hours and hours and hours.
That's a huge waste of time. But maybe it's like a time to contemplate. Is that any different than what Headspace is offering these days?
That's what I'm trying to say. And it's free.
Thank you. It's the holidays. We're in the middle of our Holidays Jubilee 2020, which is where we're watching a bunch of Christmas movies. Do you have any like holiday viewing habits? Like, are there things you go to every year?
Yes.
Or do you like, go on?
Let's hear it.
No, I have a bunch of them. Every year I watch the movie that we're talking about today.
Okay, save it.
I'm not going to reveal what it is, and nobody read the description and they don't know yet. I watch The Grinch, the original cartoon Grinch.
Yeah. Of course, classicist.
My family listens to the audio of the Polar Express as read by William Hurt.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
That's a tradition from my childhood.
And you guys all like sit around and listen to it?
Yeah. What
are you doing anything while it's on?
No, we have our eyes closed. Seriously.
So that's like
short. It's a children's book read aloud.
I
it's
see.
A movie.
Gotcha.
It's like probably 20 minutes. And then what else do I watch though? I rewatch like every Christmas movie at Home Alone every year, Home Alone 2, you know, those classics. I'm down for anything with a little bit of Jingle Bells. I even started watching this year some interesting Netflix fare. They have Midnight at the Magnolia, which I just started watching, which was fascinating. Shot in Canada for sure, but supposed to be
fascinating is the word.
I get so frustrated by movies that are shot in Canada and claiming to be other cities. Like, just be in Canada. Why can't this story
just be in Canada? Christmas happens in Canada, as far as I know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But those are my mains, I would say. Home Alone, Midnight at the Magnolia.
Yeah, gotta see Midnight at the Magnolia every year.
Christmas till that happens.
There are a bunch more, but I can't think of more right now. But I'm sure.
Well, we get a third Princess Switch movie this year. The Vanessa Hudgens ones on Netflix.
Oh my God! Yes,
that's a trilogy now.
Oh wow!
What did I see? The second Princess Switch. I definitely saw the first one.
They go down. I like the Netflix. I like all the like Hallmark ones, and I like the Netflix. Netflix ones have a little bit more like sheen to everything. They look a little more like polished.
Yeah. They're really well made. But I do wonder if they're doing a thing with like Hallmark where they're kind of just like, we'll scoop all those scripts and just bang those out. Because they're very Hallmark Lifetime-y vibes with a simple story and like, you know, it's very sweet.
I might have said this last week on our show, but I was watching one, a Lacey Charbet one. I missed the first hour and a half. I was caught right up in 5 minutes.
I think I saw that one. What was that about?
Well, she's done multiple. This one is like, it was called The Sweetest Christmas, and she's in the American Gingerbread Baking Competition, which happens to be taking place in her hometown.
Oh my God. I don't think I've seen that one.
I once saw one. Lacey. That starred, I think, Daniel Baldwin. It's hard to know after the first two. But like, it was like the last 10 minutes and it was just like someone walked up his door and handed him an envelope. He opened it, looked inside of it. And the person said, do you know what that is? And he said, yeah, that's the money that we need to use to save the orphanage or something like that. It was like, oh, that's the last 5 minutes is all you needed of this movie.
Do you know what this is? Yes, it's everything I've needed. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. This is my goal.
Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You for the movie.
Yes, it was my goal from the movie. Thank you.
I watched one last year, and I think I might have watched it, or it's from the year 2 years ago, and I watched it again last year. It's with Candace Cameron Bure.
Of course.
It's called A Shoe Addict's Christmas.
I've heard of this one. Yeah. I don't think I saw the movie itself.
She works in a shoe department. She gets trapped in the mall. She's too busy, of course. She never followed her dream of being a photographer. But Jean Smart is her fairy godmother, shows up, and she puts on a different pair of shoes, and she travels back in time via the shoe.
What I love so much is that because there are so many Christmas movies with these Lifetime-y ones, they have to find like a little hook. And so like A Shoe Addict's Christmas is so specific.
Yeah.
Like it's just the most specific thing. And the Midnight at the Magnolia, it's like there are two radio hosts who want to introduce their lovers on air, but then they get broken up with. So they pretend they're dating so that they won't lose their syndication deal. And then they fall in love.
What? Thanks a lot.
Who saw that
coming? I
was looking
forward to that.
I think I heard an interview once that what's her name had to bring her own shoes. Like all the shoes in that movie were hers. Because they didn't have a budget. So Candace Cameron was like, it's okay. I've got plenty of shoes.
I'm sure you have 100 you can bring.
Yeah. Right. Like, why green light that movie if you don't have the shoes?
You can't get the shoe budget?
We got everything but the shoes. And no Christmas lights. So many of them are like based on the novel by like, what book is this? It's like a pamphlet. Like,
the idea of people reading Christmas novels is really fun. Like,
hello, Charles Dickens. Slander much.
Well, no, I mean, I love A Shoe Addict's Christmas and I wrote my book report on it, but.
Speaking of reports, families checking in with each other. The movie we're talking about today.
Wow, that makes sense.
This is pretty great.
This makes a lot of sense. We're talking about The Family Stone. John, what's the deal with The Family Stone?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Family Stone. It was written and directed by Thomas Bazucha. And the plot follows the holiday misadventures of the Stone family when the eldest son brings his uptight girlfriend home with the intention of proposing to her with the cherished family ring. Overwhelmed by the hostile reception, she begs her sister to join her for emotional support, triggering further complications. And before the holidays are done, relationships will unravel while new ones are formed. Secrets will be revealed, and the Stone family will come together through its extraordinary capacity for love. It stars Diane Keaton, Greg T. Nelson, Dermot Mulroney, Sarah Jessica Parker, Luke Wilson, Claire Danes, Rachel McAdams, and Tyrone Giordano. It was released on December 16th in 2005, was a commercial success with a gross of $92.3 million off a budget of $18 million. Sarah Jessica Parker was nominated for a Golden Globe for her performance, and Rachel McAdams won a Teen Choice Award. Reviews were mixed, with Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars, calling it silly at times, leaning toward the screwball tradition of everyone racing around the house at the same time in a panic, fueled by serial misunderstandings, while Mike LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle called it a feel-bad holiday film about a repellent family with a milquetoast dad and a smug, devious harpy of a mom.
No!
That's the deal with the Family Stone.
Okay, I've never Googled this movie. I just watch it every year. And I'm actually astounded by this. That person hated it, and I don't understand. But maybe you both hate it. But I really love this movie, and I've never even once looked at who wrote it. And I'm like, who is that guy? What did he wrote?
He did this other, like, before that, he did like a gay independent movie called Big Eden. Was the thing, and I forgot what he did after that.
Cool.
But he's a guy.
He's a guy.
So we asked you to pick a Christmas movie, and you chose A Family Stone. Why A Family Stone?
Well, I really love this movie. It makes me cry so much. I love Diane Keaton. I love Sarah Jessica Parker. I love basically every actor in this movie. And I mean, I like them all, but some of them are my top faves. Claire Danes. I mean, sure. There's just so much going on in this movie. And I really love a story about a big family. I always, like, growing up, I just always thought it seemed so cool to have like a bunch of siblings. And I really like the dynamic between Rachel McAdams and her brothers in this movie. And I think she's, I just think she's amazing in this movie. And very real. And when you asked me what Christmas movie I wanted to do, it was the second movie that came to mind. And the first movie was Serendipity for no reason. I don't even think it's really that Christmassy, but it takes place in the winter and at least in part of it. And I really thought of that being Christmassy, but you gave me a chance to go with a different one. And
a gentle suggestion.
And you're totally right. And Family Stone was the next one to pop in my mind, and it's just, I consider it such a classic. I love it. It is kind of depressing for obvious plot reasons with Diane Keaton, and I feel like I kind of always forget that when I put it on, especially with like family around, and it's like, oh, now it's getting sad. She's gonna be gone soon. Sure. but I love it.
That's great. John, what's your what baggage you bring into A Family Stone?
Well, I had never seen it before, so no baggage. Oh. So this is my first time seeing it. I thought it was delightful. I thought it's better, like the actors are all great, and I think the performances, I would say, are better than the script. I think the script is a little sort of I felt like, while I do love the fact of like a big family and all that stuff, like that's where I come from, not a huge family, but almost the same size as their family. I felt like, a lot of people were just sort of sketched out or didn't have a lot to do. But I think all the performers across the board were great. And yeah, like Diane Keaton and Sarah Jessica Parker were giving performances that they could do in their sleep, but still doing a great job in both cases. How about you,
well,
Mark?
I think quickly about the, like the script is pretty simple, but you have all these amazing actors in it that like, it can't help but be compelling, hope.
We fingers crossed.
Mark, what is your history with Family Stone?
Mark, is it compelling?
I think I maybe saw like bits of it on TV 10 years ago, so I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched the whole thing. So watching it this time, I really liked it, because I do watch Hallmark movies every year, and it is so jarring to see characters who aren't like, wait a minute, the mom's not a total saint, and like, you know, even Sarah Jessica Parker is like, she's an asshole, but also like, you see the humanity in her too. Like, no one is like a perfect, I think all the characters, like, well, the main, like Sarah Jessica Parker and Dang, they're all pretty like well-rounded, like they're three-dimensional people.
Yes.
They're not perfect, you know, and I feel like that's so rare in our movies. Like most like Christmas comedies now are really like spoon feeding the audience. Like, I appreciate that these characters aren't like afraid to be hard to love at times. So I just think it more interesting, like that's more fun. And it really does. Like there's like the Christmas present that Sarah Jessica Parker gives. It's a real gut punch.
It's so sweet.
It's really moving.
She doesn't even realize, you know,
she doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so good. Well, I have that same feeling, you know, you're talking about watching Hallmark movies and then watching something like this. And my version of that is like, I watch a lot of reality TV and then I'll put on like an award-winning movie and I'm like, whoa, this is like good.
Yeah, right?
Surprised.
Oh, I can't just listen to this movie? That's weird. So sounds like Lauren and I loved it. John hated it. So
that's exactly what I said. You assessed the situation perfectly as usual.
So, Laura, as you may or may not know, but I think you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. And we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge and score these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. At one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel. Let's see what that means. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So this is our current top five Christmas movies ranked in by gayness. So this is our current top five Christmas movies. So Scrooge with a 47.80. I'm doing this backwards than I normally do. I'm going to reverse that now. 56.20, fourth gayest Christmas movie, Gremlins. And third with a 59.20%, Last Holiday. Second gayest Christmas movie with a 65.21%, Die Hard. And our current reigning champ with a 66.49%, it's referenced in this movie, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yes, I was trying to figure out. I thought that's what that was, and I've never seen that. But
Oh my God! Wow. Yeah, gotta watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm gonna be sad and bored
during the movie. I hope not. Rude.
Before I watch it,
I see. If you had to guess, how gay? Like, where do you think Family Stone's gonna end up in there?
Well, I feel like it might end up in the middle. I feel like. It's gayer than Last Holiday, I would guess. Although I feel like
that's a pretty low bar.
But it's gay. Then they address talking about being gay for about 10 minutes. So I thought once, and I've seen this movie so many times, and I was like, oh yeah, I feel like this movie there's gay characters, and I don't know exactly all the scale you determined it on, but then when I was rewatching it today, and I was like, oh, they have a fucking debate about this,
right?
But maybe that, I don't know if that's putting it in the right direction towards being the gayest movie, or if it's actually sending it back. Do you know what I mean?
Well, visibility counts.
Visibility.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's definitely gonna help. So let's get into it. This first group of categories is the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. I'll do the math. Don't you
Thank
worry.
Thank you. I got scared. You
have a calculator handy, I hope. And also, if you could pick up my dry cleaning, that'd be great. So how would you score The Family Stone on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Mm.
Well, there's two.
There's two.
Yeah, so... So how does that balance out in 100?
Well, it's at least 20, maybe. I would say.
Yeah, I would give it a 20.
I might go higher than that.
I might go higher because I feel like it's a focus. Like it's a focal point of the family. It's a big discussion. I would say 30.
30. I mean, this is like. I'm trying to even look at like the last, Fried Green Tomatoes was the last movie to score really high in this. That makes sense.
I've never seen that either. Isn't that crazy?
No, you're fine. Oh, you're all right.
I feel like
it's
I
good, but it's one
it.
Of those movies where if you didn't see it when it came out, it's hard to be like, here's the compelling reason for you to now watch Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, great.
If you're ever doing laundry, maybe throw that on, you know.
Sure. It's really two movies in one, so it's kind of a fun that way.
I do think this is like, we rarely get movies with like an actual out gay couple in them.
Right.
But also these ones, they don't really have much of a personality besides being nice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I also felt they had that thing of like, all right, this is a white family. So the gay couple will have one of them be black and the other one will be deaf. So that's our diversity. It's all in that little
pocket. They really did kind of nail it in one fell swoop.
Like you could maybe spread it around a little.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give it for actual gay characters, Lauren? You also do not have to go first.
I want to say 30 because I
30.
Do feel, I felt like it was solid.
I'm going to go 50 just because mathematically 50 means that it doesn't get penalized in the larger sense.
I don't understand the system yet.
I mean, this is all totally arbitrary and it means nothing. So don't worry.
I see. Okay.
It's just like your gut. What does your gut tell you? I'm going to say, I'll say 50. Sure. Why not? Give it an average of 43.33, which is 1 point higher than Pieces of April. Okay.
There you go.
Wow. Pieces of April.
Coming for you. Okay. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch a Family Stone and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Oh my God. Yes.
Really?
I did think the most funniest one to me was Diane Keaton wearing the starched white shirt with the pop
that
collar
exactly
under a bathrobe.
That is yeah. exactly
She wore it
what
to bed. Yes. To bed. Who wears a collared shirt to bed? That did make
starched
me angry.
To the nines.
But and her hair is really like coiffed the whole time just naturally. And I was wondering, when will that happen to me?
You know? Like, do you want like just the front gray, you know, that you get like after you see a ghost, you know, that kind of thing?
That's what you need my to do, dream... Lauren. You need to see a ghost.
I'll work on that. But my dream is like having long white hair, but I don't know.
Sure. Like Abby Lou Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't know who that is.
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. Kind of. I don't know if like there's like a lot of iconic looks in this though.
It's not all about the looks to me, it's about the vibes. Like my thought was like when Sarah Jessica sure. Parker is dancing to that song in that bar, and she's like, this is my favorite song, and she's like suddenly letting loose. I'm like, that song's a performance. There's like something there, like
that's true.
Okay. The uptight sort of shrew that she is. It could be an interesting character.
You could do like a transformation, like a reveal of like the tight suit, mm-hmm. and then she takes it off and like she's covered in strata and eggs, you know what I mean? Underneath. That could be a fun thing.
That would be hilarious. It'd smell like shit, probably.
But you know what? It's a drag show. It's a little punk rock, maybe.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Could be. John, what do you think?
I think it's not like this was a very turtlenecky movie. Like everyone had a turtleneck at some point, except for Sarah Jessica Parker, which I was like, that's how you know she doesn't belong in this family. Even though, spoiler alert, she does end up in the family. I wouldn't say there was not, even though you have Sarah Jessica Parker, who I believe is in like in the larger sense in her place in culture, she is sort of a drag queen inspiration. I think she's pretty muted in this movie.
She is. Well, so, I also feel she's really fighting Carrie at this point. She's really trying
to... Yeah, she's definitely like, I need a break from this.
2005, yeah.
I guess she started filming this right after they finished their season, their last season.
Yeah, I remember thinking at the time when it came out, like, geez, she's really trying to be serious. Like, not, like, dramatic, but, like, right. She's... Carrie's so fun and, you know...
Where's the tutu? That's what exactly. I was thinking.
Like, when that kid is holding her high heel and she's like... She like snatches it back and she's like, I have another pair that goes with that outfit, I guess. I was like, you gotta chill. There's a fucking kid holding the shoe.
Yeah.
Just grabbing shoes from a child. Real Scrooge. So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration?
I don't want to go first anymore. It stressed me out.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'll go first. It's pretty low for me because I don't think there's like a lot of looks that you could do that someone would be like, that's Family Stone. So, but you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, Diane Keaton, I'll give it a 20.
20. I'm going to give it a 30 just for the white pop collar under the bathrobe. I've never seen anything like that. And it was crazy.
I love that. I'm going to give it a 30 as well, but it's all about getting super creative. And so it doesn't jump out at you, but I do feel like sure. I'd be thrilled if I were to see a show where someone
had. So like a savvy, like a drag queen yeah. could be like, I got this.
Yeah. Like if it's Rachel McAdams inspired, like she has like ambulance sirens on her tits and like something
sure.
like,
sure.
And so there's just like layers, you know.
A go-go boy pops out of a box for a clock radio or
yeah,
something.
She's holding a laundry basket.
Yeah. That'd be great. Given an average of 26.67, which is 8 points higher than Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay. All right, really good.
Although I feel like Bill and Ted, that's an interesting one.
It's just Bill and Ted, again? Pretty much.
Not the new one.
The new one is not interesting.
No, I just mean Excellent Adventure was the old one. What's
oh,
the
yeah.
new one called?
Face the Music.
Face the Music.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of Face of the Music, how would you score the Family Stone for 0 to 100 on gay icons? I mean, there's quite a few here. Diane Keaton.
Would we Sarah say Jessica she's Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. I would say Rachel McAdams.
I think Claire Danes has her, you know, Claire
Danes.
Home status. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Judy Garland's in it.
Yeah. That's true.
There's at least five. That's pretty good.
That is good. Especially because there's only like 8 actors.
There's only 8 people in this movie. Luke Wilson's sweatpants, are they a gay icon?
They are when he's humping by her window.
Yeah.
Love that part.
But I think this is pretty stacked in terms of this. Is this our first Diane Keaton movie? I think it might be. I feel like Rachel McAdams has really like blossomed in like the last, she's like become part of the fold in like the last five. Like I watched that Eurovision movie and like, oh yeah, she is great.
I thought that was interesting casting because I don't think of her as being particularly comedic. Like she can do comedy, you know, she does a lot of rom-commy type comedy.
Right. Sure.
But that was very sketchy in a sense. And
well, her Teen Choice Award for this movie was also shared with Wedding Crashers. So she won it for sort of like both performances.
Because she was like 30 when she made this. Why is she getting nominated for a Teen Choice? Why is like this like dark?
It's not you don't have to be a teenager to get it. It's just what teenagers want to give you.
What teenagers like, you know? It's all about their desires.
And they loved Wedding Crashers and The Family Stone. Such a teenager movie.
Like, is The Undoing getting nominated this year? The HBO series for the Teen Choice Award?
Hugh Grant gets a Teen Choice Award. Oh my God, I'm loving The Undoing. It's so good.
I hear everyone's telling me it's great. I gotta
watch it. You gotta watch it.
That's what everybody says. So what do you want to give this for gay icons, John?
I'll go 80.
80. Wow, that's devastating. I think combined might of Sarah Jessica Parker definitely is top tier. Is she a Cher? No. But she's not a Cher.
Okay, that really cleared things up for us, Mark. Thank you.
The combined forces of Diane Keaton, I think cumulatively, I'm giving it 100.
100? Wow.
Diane Keaton and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, but I don't think either of these are like, oh, you need to see. Judy Garland doesn't know she's in the movie, so I don't think we can give her like full credit. Doesn't.
That's half the movies Judy Garland made. She didn't know she was in them.
Still. But I think yes, Sarah Jessica Parker and Diane Keaton, but I don't think if you were like their most if you have to like collect their most iconic roles, I don't know that Family Stone is up there. I don't think it's in the top.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I think for Sarah Jessica Parker, I don't know that she's pretty good at playing against type in this. So I think it's kind of if you want to show her range at least.
And I do think being in a Christmas movie is very important in that way where like this comes up every year for her. Like no matter what, people are talking about Family Stone, they're watching it and she's getting residuals. So it's an important film.
If she were a singer, it'd be like her Christmas album. Yeah.
Exactly. And I, by the way, have said this so many times, but I think anyone who can sing should do a Christmas album because there's money just on the table for you there.
Hello, Adele.
Seriously.
Make $1 billion, Adele.
Oh my God. If she made a Christmas album, it'd be over.
Done.
Mandy Moore just released 2 Christmas songs. I'm saying like, get out. Everyone should get out there. I give this a 90 just to kind of
to balance it out.
Algorithm.
Wow, the algorithm of math averages. Give it in an average of 90, tying it with Pieces of April.
What?
All right.
That's confusing. I guess it should be 100.
The next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Ooh, for the male form. Oh.
Well, director is a gay man.
This movie really does make some of these guys look really fucking hot.
I mean, has Dermot Mulroney ever looked better than this movie?
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
I like the whole like fight for him to take off his tie. You know, like the family's like, you're not like this. Yes. I like that. And then Luke Wilson is just like so relaxed and hot. And like I said, that sweatpants scene is just like
that
really
sweatpants
wonderful.
Scene. Sweatpants scene. Which he's gray sweatpants towel. Is like a thing. That's like, you know, gay man's lingerie.
Oh, I really like that. And then him smoking weed on the bench while also getting devastating news about his mother is also somehow attractive. You know, there's like a lot happening.
Sure.
So what I thought was really funny about that scene is it starts with him tapping out the bowl like he's done. And then he puts his knit cap on. Like you can't smoke with a hat on. Like that was a weird, like
this
order smoking, of sequence of events.
It took me, I think, a few viewings to really catch that they were smoking weed. Like it always seems like it's like, they cut something that was a little more clear, but then she mentions you're stoned afterwards.
Right.
But do you think Craig Nelson was smoking pot as well?
I think so.
He wanted that brownie so bad.
Yeah. He was loving those brownies.
Yeah. You can only love brownies when you're high.
Well,
he was kind of scarfing them.
He was scarf. He was like patting his face. He was obsessed with these brownies. The obsession. Also thought Brian White, who plays like the gay son's
the
husband
boyfriend
is like super hot.
He's super hot.
Luke Wilson coming out of the shower. He did not have to be coming out of the shower soaking wet in a towel, but no. I'm so glad he was.
Not mad
Thank
at
goodness.
It.
Not mad at this.
No, no, no.
But it also wasn't like super horny. Like, it's still a family movie.
It is, yeah. But it's like everyone's attractive and they don't hide it.
Thank God.
Thank you. Yeah, no one's got extra warts or anything.
Is that Nicole Kidman?
I
want to
be brave.
Virginia Woolf knows.
No. Yeah. Eileen Werneau's showing up. There's also just the random shot of Everett in his white t-shirt and underwear. I mean, great.
He's so hot.
He is kind of an asshole.
He's annoying. The character's annoying, but he's still very attractive. Like, I do wonder about Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott and how much they hate each other. Don't you think? It's just like your whole life, people are getting you confused.
Right. Because one probably gets casted, one and like, oh, I thought it was the other.
Yeah. Eh. Can you imagine showing up?
It's like when you go to a restaurant and ask for Pepsi, we only have Coke. Fine.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Sure.
It's a lateral it's like Mulroney. Move.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
I want to give it, I am jumping back into first. For
wow.
A
you like taking right power. It's just, taking it's back an control. She persisted.
I want to give it like a 75 because I do think this movie's very attractive.
Yes.
And I never really thought about it in that sense, but I it's one of the reasons I like it.
And the men are shot, I think, so much more like sexy than the women. Although Claire Danes, I almost gasped when I first saw Claire. Like, she's so beautiful in this. Yeah.
She's so beautiful in this. I do feel like they're put into these categories where, like, they aren't really like allowed to be hot. Like, Sarah Jessica Parker's, like, so uptight. Like,
right.
If you found her attractive, you're, like, weird. Everyone's mad at her.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams.
Like, into German shit porn, too.
Rachel McAdams is, like, so effortlessly beautiful, but she's really played down. Like,
yeah,
like,
she's really
dirty.
Trying to tomboy it up.
Shower.
Yeah. Yeah. She's eating cereal. Yeah.
Yeah. She's, you know,
she's wearing a Dinosaur
milk.
Junior t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a mess. She's into quirky music. Ugh.
And then Diane slob. Keaton is not really, you know, a sex symbol in this movie. She's like a maternal,
true,
you know,
martyr.
Unfortunately ill figure.
She's unfortunately ill. Not hot.
Unfortunately.
John, what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
For the male gaze? I'll give it a 70.
70. We'll give it 72. I think it's pretty horny. Give it an average of 72.33, which is 2.33 points higher than The Silence of the Lambs. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. All right,
the next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, there's a ton.
Yeah. I liked how Amy showed up at her parents' house in a beat up Volvo and an NPR tote bag and a basket of laundry. Like, what more do you need to know?
I love that. And I also think this movie, whoever did the set design is like amazing because the house feels so lived in and so real. Yeah. And when she came, right, she pulled up, car's dirty in a real way, like it would be in the winter. She drops everything. It's all dirty looking and bad. I just thought that was so well done. Sometimes things look too pristine. That's annoying.
Right. Especially in a holiday movie.
Yeah. She had a great entrance. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker, just in the beginning of the film, kind of barking into her cell phone,
mm-hmm,
was very powerful.
Claire Danes has a classic rom-com
slip
and fall.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, she
She's
takes
never
her breath away
later
and
in the
she
movie.
Klutzes. Yeah.
That's one of the silliest moments of the movie. She just like, she falls like 3 feet. It looks like it really hurt.
Yeah, she probably broke her clavicle or something. But she my sister needs me. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I got on a bus. Yeah.
I feel like that might have been something they shot just to put in the trailer.
It is very trailery.
We need a trailer set piece. So what can happen?
What can happen? Someone's got to slip and fall.
It's not an entrance, but Sarah Jessica Parker reversing the car, you know, multiple times and the wrong thing and then just crashing. Yes. I love that. There, yeah. And then at the end, the entrance where Dermot and Claire show up. And
at the bus stop. Yeah.
You piece it all together. I mean, there's like a lot of like, yeah.
There's a few. Is this Die Hard? No, I don't think it's up there with Die Hard.
No, it's not Chicago.
Although in a way it is kind of Die Hard, you know, family trapped in a house, Christmas terrorists, is Sarah Jessica Parker maybe, or the family.
Intolerance, yeah, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
That's what it was mapped on, yeah.
I saw Die Hard and thought, what if this was my family? So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm going to go 50.
50.
Yeah, I think for me, Claire Danes is like the most pizzazzy. And I think, yeah, Rachel McAdams, like as soon as I saw that NPR tote bag, especially because I think there was just one handle, like I think one of the handles was missing. But I mean, it was like, I know who she is. So I will give it a 45.
45. I'm going to give it a 40. Because otherwise, except for those few, it's all pretty subdued. I mean, it's a nice calm drum. Mm-hmm. Calm drum. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
All right, next category, strident women.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, there's Meredith refusing to give her assistant the day off before Christmas. Pretty harsh on the phone.
Was that on the phone? I forgot that part. That's funny.
Amy's kind of an asshole.
I mean, the mom is an asshole.
Kate has her moments too. An asshole. I think most of the women at some point are pretty mean, except for what's her
Claire
name?
Claire Danes.
Elizabeth Reeser,
the pregnant sister.
Yeah. I will say, casting Elizabeth Reeser and Rachel McAdams as sisters, I was like, I buy that 100%.
Yes, I like that too. I think, I mean, the mom, clearly Rachel McAdams' character was raised by Diane Keaton's character because she's got all of these kind of like eye-rolly, like, fuck this guy sort of attitudes, which I really liked. And I really liked Diane Keaton's character being like that while also having cancer. I mean, like you said, it's very three-dimensional. Like she doesn't like this woman. She doesn't want to give the ring to her son to propose to her. Everyone's begging him not to propose to her, which I love too. But
it is crazy how much this movie still feels like, oh, this isn't how you do a holiday movie. You know what I mean? It still feels like in a way like transgressive a little bit for like a holiday romance movie. It's like, what? No, she's supposed to come along and like they're supposed to like be won over.
That's
like,
true.
Right.
That must be one of the reasons why it's
I think that's why I've endured. And there's a lot of this year for like EW, that's what I call it. Had a
so inside.
They did to those on the flyover states, that's a trade.
Entertainment Weekly.
They did a 20-year oral history of it with all the cast.
Oh wow. I'd that like just to read that.
Well, a 20-year? Because it came out in 2005.
Well, there you go.
15-year. It's set in the future.
They're talking about all the great vaccines they have.
We're not sure if Craig T. Nelson's going to make it for the next 5 years, so let's do this now.
Put it in the bank.
He's so good. I love this dad character. I don't know if I have any friends who have a dad like this, but he's so like hands-on and like grab your face and like give you a kiss and like it's very intense.
I've got the sense he was like do we know what his job was? He was like, seemed like almost like a therapist or like a sculptor.
Like
somewhere in that or maybe both.
Yeah,
it's true. Sculpture therapy.
He did have like hippy dippy like necklaces or something.
Yeah
Well,
Diane Keaton did have a lot of jewelry. That was something we didn't bring up with
did you happen to clock her amber colored iMac?
yes I did.
She's busy.
I feel like they had that made for this. I feel like I've never seen that color. It was like brown. I loved it.
It's so New England.
It was. It fit right in with the house.
So what do you want to give this for strident women?
I'm going to go 95.
95.
Yeah, I think the women, except for, again, what's Elizabeth Reeser and maybe the young daughter, everyone is strident at least half of the time, at least half the time. So I'll go 92. Ooh.
92. I'm just like looking. I gave Death Becomes Her 100 in this, so that's my barometer. So I'm like, this isn't Death Becomes Her, but it's up there. I'll give it a 96. Giving an average of 94.33, which is 10 points higher than Mermaids. Okay. Eat shit, Mermaids. All right, the next category, macabre. How macabre is the Family Stone? Well, there's a ticking clock.
Yeah, does that count, though, as macabre, or is that just...
It could be some points.
Some points. Yeah. It's not 100.
This isn't the court.
Okay, so yeah, it's still on the scale, yeah.
I think the song Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is kind of macabre.
Yeah.
Especially if you know,
it makes you want to cry.
Well, the original first lyrics of the song are "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last," which they did a rewrite on. But yeah, it's a pretty. It does feel like very like sad and melancholy as a Christmas song.
Even if it's going to be your last, still keep it little. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this movie does have that looming feeling, but you don't know about it for the first part. Well, I guess, John, how soon did you pick up on that? Because, I mean, it's been a long time since I saw it for the first time.
I think I had a sense that there was, like, a secret going on, and then obviously in the pot-smoking scene, they just come out and tell you. He just says, it's not good. Like, they sort of hint at it there.
Well, like, Elizabeth Reeser gets in the bed with the mom, and then she turns to her and is like, who else knows? And I was, like, thinking, is she getting divorced? Is she, like, what's happening? You know, but then they reveal it. I think the next scene is the bleachers scene.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they don't leave you hanging. But they're at the beginning, Diane Keaton's, like, really sad in her chair before everyone comes home. And and if you've seen it, you're like, she's dealing with this information. But if you haven't seen it, it's just kind of like she's waiting for everyone to come home.
What's wrong with her? Right.
Do we think a mushroom allergy is macabre?
No.
It was weird that like she was, I mean, they were pre-fiancé. Okay, she had no idea.
But I love that she had no clue.
Right. Yeah. Telling. Like, have you never eaten together? In New York City? Everything's got mushrooms in New York City.
Yeah.
Also, your boyfriend's brother being like creeping on you. There's something macabre about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, how macabre do we think, how macabre do you think this is on a scale of 0 to 100?
I guess, I mean, I feel like in terms of a Christmas movie, it's pretty high because most of the time it's so much lighter than that. So I guess I'm going to go with 50.
50.
I'm going to go 33.
John thought it was pretty cheerful.
it just feels like a normal family Christmas for the most part.
Pure chaos. That's a normal family Christmas.
Yes.
I'll go to 50 for mom's looming death. Give it in an average of 44.33. All right. Next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in this? It is like a classic, like kind of studio comedy. So they don't go too crazy.
Yeah. I don't feel like the lighting really tells a story.
No.
It's nice when they're like downtown with the Christmas lights. Any
Christmas lights.
I mean, is there anything more beautiful than out of focus Christmas lights?
No.
Nothing.
There was that moment where after Claire Danes had pulled away on the bus and then she tells the bus driver to stop and she and Dermot stand in front of the bus and have their thing. Like other people on that bus must have hated her.
Yeah. It's Christmas Eve. We're trying to go home.
Yeah, we got places to be.
We're on a Greyhound on Christmas Eve. It's not looking good. Let's go.
But I'm sure they're probably all just like, you know what? We deserve whatever happens to us if this is where we're at right now. This is our fault. But yeah, you're right. That's kind of
I've made my life choices. Let me hear. Oh, good. Being stopped by the most beautiful people in the world.
Oh, the models want to have a talk.
Oh, good. There's something bad in their life. Anyway, it's got to spread tuberculosis on this bus. What do we want to give this for dramatic lighting?
I'm going to go 15.
15, tough but fair.
I'll go 30 for the Christmas lights.
30. I'll give it 24. Giving an average of 23, which is 3 points higher than Fried Green Tomatoes. Okay.
All right,
next category, vibrato.
So for this category, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment and sort of give it extra or zhuzh it up or give you more, then it's necessary, but you still like it.
Okay.
I do think like the overall like chaos, like this chaotic family, they really let you know like, this is a big family. And like everyone's talking all the time.
We've all got an issue.
I mean, I love the scene when they're running around and Strata? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
that spills and everything, and I just love that. I think it makes me cry, and I just think it's so sweet and sad and fun, crazy. It's like, it just seems like a very exciting holiday. And
you love when hijinks are ensuing. Yeah,
I do. I mean, I think it probably would be horrible to be there for that, but it seemed really, and like cleaning it up seems bad.
I did have a hard time keeping track of like this strata. At first I thought, oh, it's like a sweet treat, but then like there were mushrooms in it. And then there was like noodles at some point, I think. Like, what is this dish?
I think it's a blessing that she wasn't able to cook it.
That's the Christmas miracle.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there. I feel like she was putting in cookie dough at the bottom and then...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's like savory?
Yeah.
Not seems interested.
Gross. No.
Is that we also do have Judy Garland singing, so we have some literal
there
vibrato.
Some
there is that.
And in fact, this category comes from Meet Me in St. Louis, so...
Wow.
So it's all comes full circle.
There you have it. Yeah, I mean, I do think there's like, but see, the chaos, like I would say like the big discussion they have at dinner that Sarah Jessica Parker puts her foot in her mouth feels kind of like it has some intensity. And then the chaotic scene, I would give those like vibrato points.
Also Claire Danes falling out of the bus, I would say that's vibrato, tripping and falling. Yeah, so we want to give this for vibrato.
I'm going 55.
I'll go 57.
Mm-hmm. All right, I gave it a 53, giving it an average of 55. All right.
Right.
Fine. You're happy with that score.
I love that.
Finally, Family Stone got 55 in vibrato. I can.
Thank God, I've been freaking out.
Christmas is saved.
All right, our next category: footwork. Footwork. Well, there's the running around.
The chase scene, yeah.
That chase scene.
The bar scene where Sarah Jessica gets up and dances.
She's finally letting her hair down, literally.
The tripping and falling off the bus.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Has Sarah Jessica Parker ever done a musical? Can she sing?
She has? She did, yeah. I saw her. She was in Once Upon a Mattress. She was fine. It was a part she should not have been cast in, but she did a lovely job.
Wow.
Everyone said it at the time. I also saw Ty Giordano, the deaf gay son in a production of Big River. He was great. He played Huck Finn.
That's fine.
There you go.
I like him. Wait, what was the question?
Footwork.
Oh, well, I think Sarah Jessica Parker's shoes play a key role, and we look
good
at
point.
Her feet a good number of times. She couldn't even accept it when the kid said, nice shoes. She was like, no. Oh, me, oh my.
She was like, thrown. Was
just... Isn't that why you wear them?
It's a very easy softball question, really.
Yeah.
Nice shoes. I hate you.
I'm scared.
That's about it for footwork. Is this Chicago? No, this is not Chicago when it comes to footwork. So what do you want to give it?
I'm going 42.
42.
I'm going to go 67 for that chase scene. And yeah, there's enough there.
All right. I'll give it a 49. Like my beloved San Francisco 49ers.
Wow. You're always trying to reference them.
Always putting them in. Yeah.
Always got to mention my beloved, the old Niners. Candlestick Park, giving an average of 52.67, which is 2.67 points higher than Edward Scissorhands. Okay.
Right. Wow. Well, he doesn't move his feet too much.
No.
If it was scissor feet, then that'd be a different movie.
Finger work, that's a different thing. Yeah. All right, the next category. This one might be tough. Animal print.
Ooh.
Is there any? I didn't clock. This is not an animal print family.
No.
They're L.L. Bean. They're Talbots.
They're turtleneck wearers.
You can have a turtleneck animal print, though, or is that gauche?
I'm sure it's been done. But
we maybe got to it is someone working at the Barney's they were at, or someone working at the Ring store. But I don't think I clocked
it. Yeah, it's not any.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 1.
A 1.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5.
A 5 based on nothing?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2 because there might have been something in them all. I don't know.
Someone
giving it a 2.67. But you know what? That's 2.6 7 points higher than Terms of Endearment. All right. And finally, this is the last of the canon categories. On okay. a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend a family stone to a gay person?
Oh.
You find out someone's gay, they're like, family stone, what's that? I'm too busy being at the bars.
I would say 75. I don't think it's like, I don't feel like it's like my gay friend has to watch this movie, but I also don't feel like my straight friend has to watch it. It's just, I just love it. So I would say it's a great Christmas film if you want
to
relax.
You're not shaking a gay person by their harness saying you have to see a stone.
Stop going to the bars.
You got to calm down and watch this.
I'm not even high. I'm just in a harness. Harness equals drugs to you? That is so rude.
Get a snap out of it. Throwing cold water.
I'm just horny. John, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, there are gay characters, but I don't think that they're not that integral to the plot. You know what I mean? There's nothing about this where like, this was the first time this happened in a movie with gay people. So, but it's pleasant. I'll give it a 50.
50. Brutal. So you would say people should see The Last Holiday more than they should see this.
Wow.
Yeah, I think The Last Holiday has more sort of ridiculous campness to it than
I Family will Stone. Watch. I have to rewatch that. I saw it in theaters, I remember.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's you're the one.
Yeah, it made $13.50 at the box office.
You bought three children's tickets. What I did like about this, which we hardly ever see, was like a father treat his like gay son so lovingly.
Yeah.
And like I can't remember. That is like pretty rare, and that was like cool. I like it was almost like a gay son's dream idea of what your father, like the perfect father, would be like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I absolutely. Thought that too, even just in general about the father figure, that he was like, God, he's so present.
Like,
and
decent.
Warm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the dad from Poltergeist. He's defeated some ghosts. This is the second he's time relaxed. He's been married to a woman with a shock of white hair.
He's got a type.
He's the dad in Poltergeist.
I haven't seen that.
You gotta see Poltergeist.
Okay, that one. So I don't have to see Friendly Tomatoes. I do have to see Poltergeist. What was the other one? Ugh, Meet Me in St. Louis. I do have to see. Okay.
You have to see Meet Me in St. Louis.
I'm going to watch Poltergeist and Meet Me in St. Louis back to back.
That is a double bill you will not regret.
I don't know. I think I would recommend this to gay people. I think, I mean, the Sarah Jessica Parker, Diane Keaton of it all. There's gays, more gay stuff than you normally see. I'll give it an 80. Give it an average of 68.33. All right, now we are into the wheel categories.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel app on my phone. Ooh. So I'm going to spin it four times. And whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we're going to grade it. And then after that, you will add a category, which will then be added to the wheel.
Okay.
All right.
And that category you come up with could become a bonus category. It could become a canon category. There's a lot at stake here.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. The first category is the male V.
The male V.
What does that mean? The V going down
your
penis?
You know, like the muscle.
Yeah. Sort of like.
I mean, yeah, I know, I guess. I don't know why I asked. Yeah. The male V, what is that? The part where it goes to the dick?
That's the part where it goes to the dick. Doctor, doctor, I got a rash on the part that goes to the dick.
The male V. Well, I feel like we see Luke Wilson.
I think that part with the car, I think that to me was like classic male V.
Yeah.
But isn't the V the front, like below the stomach? Like to the side of the... We definitely see it when he comes out of the shower.
Yeah, I feel like the sweatpants vibe, you get a sense of the V if you don't literally see it.
I think that scene makes your eye is going there. You know what I mean? Like it's bringing... You may not see it completely, but I think it's like... That's the... focus of the scene.
The V to me is not the actual dick print. We see a dick print in the sweatpants.
No, I agree, but it's like it's right over. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm doing visuals. But it is.
Oh,
like,
show us your male V, John. Like John,
so what is it? Okay, great.
Oh, I see. Perfect example. Who replaced John with Channing Tatum, circa 2004? So, what do you want to give this for the male V? There's some.
I think for a Christmas movie, it's pretty high.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to say 51.
51. Why don't they make a Magic Mike 3 set at Christmas?
They obviously should.
Magic Mike
X. Triple X Christmas.
Xmas? Yeah.
Xmas, yeah.
It writes itself. Steven Soderbergh,
come on.
They have Santa hats on their dicks. Come on.
Fun.
Bells on their balls. We got
there
this.
There we go.
Sure. John, what do you want to give it for the movie?
I'll give it a 60.
60. That sounds right. I'll give it a 60 as well. Giving it an average of 57. All right. Wheel category number 2. Male V is from Terms of Endearment. Terms of Endearment. Things.
Next category is tan. How tan is the movie?
Mm. How tan is it?
It's a New England Christmas movie, so that's pretty rough. Pasty.
Yeah, I don't feel like...
Claire Danes is some color. She's
Sarah
blonde.
Jessica Parker.
She's very pale, I feel like.
Really. I can't remember right now.
She's no Lilith Crane, but she's basically Lilith Crane in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't feel like there's much going on in that department. I would say I'm going to give it a 9.
A 9.
I'll give it a 5.
5. I'll give it a 4. Giving an average of 6. Tan is from our Raiders of the Lost episode. Raiders of the Lost Ark episode with Ryan Singer.
Okay, here we go. Lovers turned friends.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Lovers turned friends.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you take the movie as a whole, you've got Sarah Jessica Parker and Dermot Mulroney. Like, they obviously are.
What lovers turned in-laws, and what is an in-law if not a friend?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. You've been very fortunate in who your family is married.
You hate your in-laws, John? This is a reveal. Oh.
They don't listen to this podcast.
I guess with Rachel McAdams, she was dating that guy, then they became friends, then they date again.
At the end, she's wearing the ring, the mother's ring.
Oh my God, I don't know if I got that.
I only got that from IMDb trivia.
I love that. Oh, that's good trivia. I think the main one is, the main plot of the movie is that lovers become friends, essentially.
Right. Also, did you think when like Claire Danes and what's his face, Dermot met, like the way they like exchanged glances, it felt like, did they know each other before? I felt like
that is what Mike asked. And I was like, no, he saw one picture of her.
Shut up.
That's right.
I watch your Avengers movies. Give me this.
But there was a vibe, but I think it was really him like immediately having love at first sight
like,
with her.
Like, oh, this is what it feels like to be horny.
Yeah.
Claire Danes must be bad at, must take bad photographs if like he saw a picture of her and then was just like, oh, like the first time he sees her.
Yeah. But she does look stunning in this.
She's
movie.
Stunning she's in this. I don't know if she's ever been, I've never seen Romeo and Juliet. Maybe she's more stunning in that, but she's probably a child in that.
She's
this
very
is
young
like,
in that. Yeah.
Gorgeous. So what do you want to give this for Lovers Turns Friends? This is one of the few times this category has ever come up.
I'm giving it 85.
85.
I'm going to give it a 62 because it's only one of the threads. But yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's not the entire plot of the movie. Fair enough. I'll give it an 85 because I feel like that is kind of like the arc of the relationship in the end.
Yeah. And it's unexpected.
It's unexpected. And relieved. I was so happy with how it all ended up. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Thank God. Give this family something.
They need something now.
More than just the gay biracial couple.
All right, next wheel category. Lovers Turned Friend is from our Beaches episode.
Ooh, Spank Bank Deposits.
So when you're watching this movie, is there anything you're going to like,
I'm saving this for later.
Spank Bank.
I mean, look, yeah, I love the sweatpants by the car, but am I going to think about that later? Probably not. I mean, it's a good moment.
Yeah, are you going to think about Luke Wilson's patchy chest hair?
Yeah, no. I think this movie is kind of horny. Like, I think that they're, because it's like just hot couples, you know, in a family, and everyone is attractive. So I feel like... The vibe of the movie is a little Spank Banky to me because it's so, it's just like, it's a feel good movie.
The family bone.
There you go.
There we go.
So I'm going to give this a I'm going to give it a 69.
60. Oh. You know what? That's disgusting.
I'm so
Oh, I think it's ribald. I think it all the spank bag, it's just, even though Dermot Mulroney looks, I feel like I always have to be very aware when I say his name. Like, you have to like think about every part of it.
I think
even though he does look good, I think it's all Luke Wilson. So I'll give it a 35.
35. Wow. Real devastating to those Luke Wilson fans. I don't know. I think we got the sweatpants. I think that's pretty, I mean, there's a whole porn site called guysinsweatpants.com. Did it birth this? Perhaps. So I think it's pretty high, and also, I don't know, I'm going to give it a 70. I mean, there's more than we normally get in these movies.
That's true.
Giving an average of 58. All right, Lauren, the time has come for you to add a category.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of like going between types of categories. Do you have any advice?
Something fun.
We can workshop it. It's not like as soon as you open your mouth. It's
okay.
It's not like an improv show where the first suggestion is what we have to go
nope,
with.
That's it. She said,
So like, I have a couple ideas. One is like longing glances.
Yes.
Okay. I
like and that. Then, well, I guess footwork kind of covers dancing, but I was thinking about dancing. And then I was thinking about dominant and submissives.
Okay.
What would be your examples of this movie sub?
Like power play, like the kind of changing dynamics between relationships and like, you know, where you think someone's in charge, but then they're not really, or that kind
Dom
of thing.
Sub power. I like Dom sub power, but we did literally just talk about that in our Die Hard episode. And how like the villain and Bruce Willis have this like kind of sexually charged Dom sub relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like it's like really apparent here, but it did come to mind. I also feel like I feel like there are a lot of shifting dynamics with like who.
I think there's definitely that, but I don't feel like, to me, that what I thought initially when you said the category is like within a relationship, that person was dominant, now they're submissive or something like that, as opposed to like, oh, now I'm dating the other brother.
Okay. So can we title it something else? Like,
sure. We can still title it that.
Okay, fine. Let's title it that. And you have to explain that to anyone.
Dom sub power plays.
Perfect.
Great.
Cool.
So what would you give the Family Stone in Dom Sub Power?
Well, I do feel like there's a lot of shifting dynamics, because I feel like at first you think, okay, the mom's really like laying down the law and everyone listens to what she thinks. And then Sarah Jessica Parker, everyone hates her, but then she kind of wins everyone over. And there's like kind of this.
And isn't like, don't you think her attraction to Luke Wilson is that he just kind of does take charge? And like, he tells her, you're fine. I don't care about your bullshit. Don't worry. You know, whereas like, her and Dermot Mulroney were trying to be like peers in a weird, like they were more like allies, and like that.
Yeah.
There's no charge there. There's no tension.
Yeah, I do feel like her crossover from one brother to the other is like all about power shifting.
Yeah. And she wants someone to take control.
She likes that. She likes that a lot.
Yeah, you can tell.
Step on my face. Everyone on the internet, you see on Twitter, everyone's saying step on my neck. What is this about?
How does everyone feel about fleets?
I'm not into it.
No.
I know. No one wants fleets.
You can't even like adjust the size of the text, I realized.
It's a mess.
Too many circles.
Every fleet I'm looking at is just about how everyone hates fleets, and suddenly that's all I'm thinking about all day.
Oh, hi. No. It's the most pressing issue of the day.
I never look away from Twitter, so this is my problem.
No, why would you?
Okay, so I'm going to give this like a 62.
62.
I think there's some fun shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I still think there's not a lot of like within a relationship that changing, but I'll give it a 50.
50. I guess there's like within a person it changes. Hmm. Like the individual. I will.
but doesn't that need two people? Like if you're talking about a relationship.
It's just a Dom sub power play. I don't know. We've seen the contrast. We're seeing two different ones that contrasted, I guess. So it is revealed to be in the movie. So I'll give it a 62% worth, giving it an average of 58.
Great.
All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So all these categories are just bonus. So like if it doesn't do well, it doesn't penalize the movie and it's just going to be from 0 to 10%. And so that'll just be like the bonus points that it gets.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, on a scale of 0 to 10%, what would you give The Family Stone in Makeover Montage?
Wow. It really doesn't really do that. I guess you have Sarah Jessica Parker changing from being uptight to wearing a tight long sleeve shirt and showing her midriff a little bit.
That's true. Pretty racy.
She seems a little more casual in a way that we hadn't seen her with her hair down, not in a bun. Tight.
There's not like a fun like montage where like you see her become like punk rock or something.
Right. No, it's all just kind of, it's 1 year later, which isn't really a fun montage.
That's a very slow montage. Yeah.
It was a slow change. I would say this movie is 2%.
Two.
I feel like there really isn't one. There's not even like a making over the, like decorating the tree or anything like that. I'll give it a one.
A one. I'll give it a two because there's a montage when they're all listening to Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Do you agree that it's really sad when they can't find the stockings at the end because the mom's dead?
She took them with
that
her.
That is sad. She was buried with them on her hands and feet.
She loved Christmas.
Would that be funny things to do on Christmas Day? Put the stockings on your feet. Can you imagine the family reaction?
It'd be wild.
They would lose their minds. Got an average of 1.67 in Makeover Montage. All right, the next one. Cheerworthy cameos.
I would say Judy Garland.
I'd say Judy Garland. I mean, are we cheering in that moment, though?
I was like, I always cheer when Judy makes an appearance.
It feels like everyone is special, but they're not cameos. They're all like mains. Judy's really the only cameo. I guess I'll give that a 5%.
Five. I'll give it a four.
Four. I'll give it a four because they also do mention Billy Don't Be a Hero, which is a fun crap song.
I had never heard of that.
It's from the 70s. You got to watch Poltergeist. You got to watch Ruby in St. Louis. You got to listen to Billy Don't Be a Hero. In that order.
I think that song does appear in Priscilla. So maybe.
What's Priscilla?
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh my God, Lauren. Jesus.
I feel like I know a lot of stuff, but not science.
Well, feelings aren't facts. All right, our next category, Pool Trouble.
Pool Trouble?
Yeah.
Pool Trouble. This came from our Gremlins episode.
Oh, zero.
Zero.
Yeah, there's no pool.
There's no pool. There's
the
no Strata
is the closest we get.
There is like a pool of egg white, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gets a zero. Tying it with Pieces of April.
Wow.
Wow. All right, next category, Witches. How witchy is The Family Stone?
I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker was in Hocus Pocus, and she has witch vibes when she's being a bitch. I guess I'm going to give it two.
But there's also, I would say Sybil kind of has like Glenda the Good or kind of the bittersweet.
Yeah.
Which she just, especially when she's in her like full Christmas form with like the top collar and like the big skirt and all, you know what I mean? Like she's,
yeah.
The hair is very like, she has like a, she's the matriarch.
I feel like that's more angelic than witchy.
Well, like a Glinda the Good Witch to me. It's like a good witch, you know?
Okay.
You're giving it a four, Lauren?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.5.
2.5. I'll give it a three. Giving it a 3.17. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Oh, well, I don't know if either of those...
They are not. I did the research.
Devastating.
Bummer.
I know. You so rarely score well in this category.
Our current of the last 15 movies, the highest scoring was 6%, and that was Die Hard.
Because there's kissing man at party.
There's one man, one extra.
Kissing man at party. You found out he was gay?
Well, he posted a meme that says, like, the only problem with, I'm not gay enough. It was, like, some dumb meme about along those lines.
That's hilarious.
So we penalized him for not being gay enough.
So I give it a zero, I guess?
A zero.
Yeah, zero.
Zero. You know, if they made it today, that would
yeah
not mm-hmm. be this. All right, you're going to make up a lot of points here. Themes of mothers.
10, 10, 10, 10.
Tens across the board. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the mother in a way.
I'm going to give it a 9 just because it a 10 would be if there was a scene where they like confronted her about like how she failed as a mother and then she revealed how she was dying of cancer.
That's terrible.
That would be a 10.
But what
that would be a
how,
10. But a 9 is still very good.
Everett is going to buy that ring and then his brother's like, don't do it. And he's like, is this about mom? And he's like, of course it's about mom. And it's like,
yeah.
He's getting engaged because of the mom. Like everything is because of the mom.
She is the hub of that family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll give it a 9.5.
Wow.
I won that.
Thank you for not penalizing for an imaginary scene not being in it.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 10. I think this is all about the mother. Giving it a 9.83, which is higher than The Shining. Okay, which only has a 7.33. Mm-hmm. All right, next category. Dramatic smoking. Is there any, there's steam, but
I think there's the bleacher scene because they finish smoking and then
true.
He says, it's not good, is it?
Yeah.
But even like that smoking isn't particularly dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, especially because you almost miss it if you look away for a second.
Yeah. Does anyone smoke a cigarette in this?
No.
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 Not even the baby. When they put up that little girl, like we caught her smoking cigarettes in the back or something.
Because no one's paying attention to her because they're all dumping eggs on each other.
Hey, what does she do all day for fun? Jesus Christ.
I imagined her actually during the big dinner scene. I was like, so where's the little kid? And I was like, she's watching TV. Like I made up like a whole thing.
She's watching Rugrats. cutting herself.
I would say this gets a 3.
A 3.
I'll give it a 2 for that scene.
2. I'll give it a 1 because I barely even notice. Giving it an average of 2. All right, finally, this is the last of the bonus categories. Quips. How quippy is the Family Stone? The Family Stone.
I think fairly quippy. I feel like especially we got Luke Wilson. He's all quippy.
I guess they let him improvise during that charade scene.
Really?
Did they?
Wow.
He brings a fun rough around the edges.
I like him. I liked when he gave her a noogie. I was like, this is fun.
He does have that family. Cool uncle. He does have like fun uncle energy.
Yeah. And like when he told the niece to like go get the piece of paper. And then he's like, go get that. Bring that over here. Okay, I like that he improvised that. That's cool.
I liked what you said. They hate me. Yes, I mean myself to the phone. That was funny.
That was good. There's a lot of quips. I'm gonna give this movie an 8. It's not like quippy in a way that annoys me. It feels real.
Oh. What's like one that annoys you? Like if it's too much?
Well, sometimes it's like if the kids are being very quippy or
I hate
like,
precocious children.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this, no one's ever said something like this, but this feels like this family could really be like this.
Like a kid feels like a 40-year-old screenwriter.
Yes.
From the Catskills.
Sheldon.
Yeah.
Kids are stupid. Just let them be stupid in movies.
For sure. Let them walk in and like fart and leave. It's like, that's so much more real.
Yeah. They just want to talk about their Ninjagos. That's all the kids want to do.
You're so in touch with youth culture, Mark.
I want a kid to walk in and be like, I got to pee.
We're
like,
talking about grandmother's cancer. Get out of here. John, what are you going to give this for quips?
I think it's not a very quippy movie. I think it's much more like naturalistic. I'm going to give it a 2 for quips. Like, there's no like big iconic line that I feel like, oh, that's something I wish I could say.
There's that one where she says, I'm not good enough for you people. And like, Danky says, we're all we have. Not really funny.
Like, I'm as good as you are. And she's like, you're quip. No, yeah, it's just
not
sweet.
Oscar Wilde didn't take a pass at the script.
He's long dead, John.
I'm going down to 5. I can't be
5.
So on this one.
Giving it a 5. John gave it 2. I'm giving it a 4. Giving it an average of 3.67. All right. Now we are into the iconic categories. There are 3 of these.
So we're back to 0 to 100, and these are more sort of like broader categories.
Okay.
You'll figure
it out. Do these count?
Yes.
These count. Okay. Yeah.
The most.
These are just fun for us. These have nothing to do with
it. I'm deleting these scores.
I was told bonus was not really important by you.
It's not really. It's just extra. This one. All right. The first one on a scale of 0 to 100. How would you rate The Family Stone on homoeroticism?
Not much. I mean,
the gay couple barely, like, they have like an arm around the shoulder.
Yeah, they could be friends.
Yeah. It's nice because they adopt a child. It's not erotic.
we want to see how the child was made.
Yeah.
By somebody. Let me just see what's going on.
Who's toting that egg? I heard that on a 90-day.
Yeah.
You're going to tote it. I've never heard
that. I need you to tote it.
It's like, is this a common term?
No. And she has, it's so insane. This is this woman, Angela, who's like in her 50s and wants to have a baby with her 30-year-old boyfriend from Africa. And she goes to the doctor and finds out she has one egg. And then she's trying to get her daughter to tote the egg. I'm like, the idea, and she also is like a walking cigarette. And you're just like, yeah. The idea that the one egg you have this month is going to turn out to be, I mean, it's just like, it's, she doesn't understand biology. It just stressed me out.
No, but I've never forgotten tote it. Who's going to tote it? I want you
who's to gonna, tote and her daughter's name is Skyla, actually spelled that way. It's like Skylar, but spelled with an A at the end. And she's like, Skyla, you gotta tote my egg. And she's like, no, I already told you I'm not gonna tote it.
You know it's rough when Skyla is the voice of reason.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what do you want to give this for homoeroticism?
I mean, out of 100, I'm gonna say 15.
15.
Because you think they probably do hook up.
Yeah, at some point
they probably do,
intimate.
Yeah.
They've touched penises to each other.
They've docked, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8.
An 8. I'll give it 25. Both the sweatpants doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
An average of 16. All right. Next in the iconic category, over the top wardrobe. There's not too much. I mean, I guess Diane Keaton's like Christmas looks are pretty like crazy.
But they're really classic at the same time.
I know. Yeah. It is like, it's very catalog. Like that's what that's what I see in the Talbot's like store window.
Right.
Yes.
Well, she probably was like, this is my last Christmas. I have to wear all of these items.
I have to wear everything at once.
That's sad. I don't think there's a lot of over the top. I'm going to go with 15 again.
15.
Yeah, I'm going to go 15 as well.
15. I'm going to complete this pattern and do 15, giving an average of 15, tying it with The Shining. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Finally, of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is The Family Stone?
I don't feel like it really is.
It's not real. It's pretty drama. Mostly like, even the comedy is pretty like slice of life. Like they're kind of funny, except for like the physical bits.
The fall is a bit over the top. I mean, I guess sliding around but it doesn't feel campy to me.
Getting the ring caught on the wrong hand was sort of campy.
That's an exciting part.
I also thought it was weird that like when the young daughter put it on, it fit her hand as perfectly as anyone else. And it was like that, I think her hand would be smaller.
Maybe it's like a Lord of the Rings thing, you know, kind of like shapes to like.
It's like, but it goes to like choke the person who's wearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I unfortunately get that reference now.
Unfortunately or fortunately?
Unfortunately.
Classic text.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a low campiness score. I'm going to go with 11.
11.
Yeah, I'll go 10.
10. All right. Here's a quick list of campy things I noticed. The nerve to have your movie reference Sly and the Family Stone and being the whitest movie ever. A department store at Christmas is a department store's final form. Anytime Diane Keaton is delighted. IMAX. How does anyone get a word in this family? A racially charged game of charades. Plaintively staring out the kitchen window first thing in the morning. A desk overflowing with papers. Mom's favorite mug. The Stones really like hitting tables. being so flustered that you forget how to drive, Sarah Jessica Parker having to play a character who's uncomfortable around gay people, an impassioned monologue about totem pole raising. Who in their right mind would take out two big dishes from the fridge at the same time? Reusing a clock radio box to wrap a present. And finally, this movie takes us back to a simpler time when being a bigot wasn't a deal breaker.
Wow. I really appreciated that a department store's final form is Christmas time. That does feel true. It's all stripped down until then, and then
it looks like nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You also actually, you did remind me, I thought it was really weird that Diane Keaton's desk was in the kitchen.
I've seen that though. I've been in houses where like that mom's home office is in the kitchen.
Is literally in the kitchen.
That's a big kitchen though.
I kind of
like
that.
That's a big house.
That's true. She had a lot of options. It could have been anywhere.
Well, maybe that's
like her the kids hub. Are coming home. I got to move the desk into the kitchen. I guess you're right. That makes sense.
It was in Dermot's room.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't hate having my office in the kitchen. You're close to snacks, close to coffee.
It's, so much could, it's like you're in a writer's room. Yeah.
You see when the mailman's showing up. I'm going to give this a 20 in camp, giving an average of 13.67. All right. Which is the lowest we've had in the last like 50 movies. Well, wow. That's what you get for killing Diane Keaton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Finally, these are the last two categories. These are the crown jewels categories. Okay.
So these are categories we all agree on. So it's not, we don't give a score. We all say, yes, it gets it or no, it doesn't. And sort of all or nothing for these categories.
Great. All right,
the first one, a 15% bonus if this movie has a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Do we think it gets that?
I
think
do.
We can.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's not like a great, it doesn't really go into it, but they're like, they are the most normal, kid and
for better
spouse
or for worse.
Of the whole family.
Yeah. And the parents are very loving and protective of them, and it feels positive. It's like when Sarah Jessica Parker asked the wrong question, everyone's like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. I didn't even think like she was probably, I didn't even think she was necessarily like homophobic, but just necessarily like she had never thought about this out loud before.
Yeah that's what
I
it
did
seems
probably,
like.
Didn't give her a chance with that. I was like, you could answer that question and not make her feel like she's the biggest piece of shit in the world.
Right. And then like Dermot Mulroney leaves her out to dry.
I know that was harsh.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I guess she said, like, when they were filming that in the EW oral history.
Okay.
She said it was really hard because all the actors, like, were not making eye contact.
I actually wondered about it. I was going to look up some trivia on this and see if people were mean to her during the shooting, because I felt like she was so cold that it would be weird to, like, bond with everyone and then be, like, turning on the ice.
She said everyone was cool, but, like, Diane Keaton was great, but she would have headphones on the entire time until right about they said action.
Whoa.
So she was like listening. She was just listening to like music to get her in like the zone.
I like that.
Intense.
You're going to do that next time you make a movie?
Yeah. It's like, I can't justify that at all. But I feel like for her, she's been doing this forever. It's like, you might also just not want to make small talk between every take. You're like,
yeah. Let her listen to Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
I really need to finish this book.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah. Listening to an Andy Cohen book. All right. Finally, negative 50% points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
That's wonderful.
Let me enter that.
All righty. So we are. That is the end of our categories, Lauren. How do you think you did?
I think I did really well.
Yeah, I think you did a great job. How well do you think the movie did?
I think it did okay. I feel like it ranked higher than a lot of things, but I don't really know where that falls in your whole grand scheme of things, so it's hard to say, but I feel like it's pretty solid.
Do you think you beat Gremlins?
I do. I have to assume we beat Gremlins with this film, but I just rewatched Gremlins. I mean, yeah, I'm going to say we beat it.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you, out of a total possible 2,226.60 points, The Family Stone has scored 1,145.27 points, giving it a percentage of 51.44, making it the 44th gayest movie ever. So in terms of Christmas movies, it's not as gay as Gremlins, but it's gayer than Scrooged. Gremlins has a 56.20.
Wow. Okay.
I think the lack of camp really really hurt this movie.
Yeah, you have full on gremlins and like that are personalities each in their own. I mean,
you know, if mom was getting killed by gremlins the next year, if that was like the plot of the movie.
Yeah. Well, I feel pretty good about that.
I think you should.
Yeah.
It is a pretty also it's one of the last movie. It's only one of two movies, this and Fried Green Tomatoes, are the only two to get the 15% bonus in like the last 15 movies we've done.
Wow.
So kudos, a little gold star for the day.
Good job to the writer of the film.
Good job,
and
sir.
And director.
Editor, eat shit.
it's a different person.
Well, Lauren, that's it. Thank you so much for coming on. Bringing
this was
in a fun
blast.
Movie.
I had a great time.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, you know, I do live shows with Dynasty Typewriter online once or twice a month. So if you follow me on Instagram, you can find out when those are. And yeah, watch a show. It's like $5. You can watch from home and it's fun.
And everyone's safe.
Awesome.
And everyone's safe. And it's something to do, you know?
Oh, I love buying tickets for things nowadays. It's such a rare treat.
So quaint.
I know. It's like and having an activity on your calendar.
Ugh. Imagine looking forward to something.
I can't. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You're terrific.
Thank you.
And
we'll be right back.
We're back. You said that was fun.
That was very fun.
So your family breaks out into song at Christmas,
yes.
As we've established on the
Patreon. Yes.
Very Brady Christmas episode. Is your family like chaotic? Like, is everyone just always constantly shouting?
No, I'd say we're pretty, I mean, like we get loud, but we're not shouting. Like we're not like fighting with each other, but there is a way.
Gossipy?
Yes and no, not really. I remember one time, I think we also like very much go on when there's like a guest, like we're all like, we all get very like performative and like big and loud and like people have, and it was, we all noticed
people
at one time,
it.
People expected that like, we're coming to the show, we need to see a show. I remember one time, like, I think a girl my brother was dating had come to visit and she was very lovely and we all had a fun time and then she left. And then like my brother and my sister and I were all just like as if we were exhausted. Like we just put on a show for someone.
Oh no. It was because you weren't into her?
No. We thought she was delightful, but it was just like, oh, we've got to give you a 10. You know what I mean?
I suppose you could just be yourself.
Sure. But you know, it was the first time you're meeting someone. You want to put on a good show. That's all it is.
I wanted to ask you, John, because we asked Lauren this. What are your, like, do you have holiday viewing, like, habits?
My one habit that I have done every year for a long time is I watched the South Park holiday special. It was from the third season.
The first thing?
I sometimes will watch the Mr. Hankey. I do that as I write out my Christmas cards.
That's cute.
It's sort of fun. It's like a fun little thing. That's like, okay, these are the holidays. We're doing it.
You always do have a great Christmas letter.
Well, thank you. I try to put some effort into it. How about you? Do you have any?
No, because I get like bored with like, I like watching some things over and over, but like Christmas movies, like I was really, that's why I was like, oh, I haven't seen like A Family Stone really. So it was nice to see something I hadn't really. So I'm like sick of Elf. I'm sick of A Christmas Story. I've seen it.
Right.
You know,
how about like A Christmas Carol? Like that's that classic story, but there's like so many different versions of it. Is that,
you know,
which one
I watched last year that I really liked that I hadn't seen before was the Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Oh, that is a fun one. That is a good one.
Because it's one of the few things where like it's all the classic Disney, but they're playing characters. Like it's not Mickey Mouse. It's Bob Cratchit.
Yeah.
Like that's
it's
why
it's nice for them to stretch themselves as performers.
But I'm like, that's a, like, why aren't they doing that with the Muppets? Like doing like a gothic
horror There's a Muppet Christmas Carol. It's exactly that.
I mean, now, like, why aren't they doing that with other stories beyond like Christmas Carol? You know what I mean? Classic, like doing like Journey to the Center of the Earth with the Muppets or something.
I mean,
this is a crazy
great
pitch.
Reboot. No, I think it's a great idea. When I was in high school, every time we did a show, we would always cast it with the Muppets. So it was like Grease with the Muppets or something like that. And that's always a fun game to play.
Sure.
I mean, because
Rizzo's Rizzo.
Rizzo the Rat, yes, in a wig was Rizzo. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure Miss Piggy was Rizzo.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Who was Sandy? I mean, there's were.
It was either Peggy Janice? Sue, the other. No, Janice was, I think.
Oh, Frenchie,
the nice pig, or it might have been Camilla the chicken.
You got to go with Camilla the chicken.
Yeah.
Everyone lusting over a chicken that just bawk, bawk, bawk.
Right. And then when she has the makeover and she's in that tight leather outfit at the end. Yeah.
A duet where this the other half is just a chicken balking.
It's just her pecking at the end of Hopelessly Devoted to You, just pecking the picture in the water.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're doing that.
All right.
all right. Well.
Well, yeah, let us know if you have any fun Christmas things you want to share with us. You can email us at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search Two Old Queens, you can find a lot of fun, all kinds of knickknacks and delightful things you can get as gifts for yourself or for loved ones for the holidays.
And we got a Patreon, patreon.com/twooldqueens. A whole new episode every Monday.
Alrighty.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.